This hour of the show is brought to you by WT Wealth Management. WT Wealth Management's investment committee draws from over a century of combined expertise to create their own in-house strategies that you can make part of your portfolio. One of WT Wealth Management's most innovative strategies includes a selection of companies that most Americans can't live without. They include modern-day staples like cell phones, internet providers, electronic payments, and software. Do your research. All investments have some risk of loss. Read their important risk disclosures. Give Glenn Lease the call to talk about his strategies. Call 928-225-2474. There's no obligation. Call Glenn at 928-225-2474 or visit him by going to WTWealthManagement.com. Let's get
this
right to it.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
I've got a big Arizona news roundup I want to get to, plus candidate for Arizona Attorney General Rodney Glassman joins me. The Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. Yeah, I want to get to this big Arizona news roundup, but then I'm always pulled back into the national stuff. This was a headline on Drudge Report earlier, and it was a report by Axios. I've talked about this. The $1 trillion platinum coin could be minted at the last minute, and they still acknowledge this is probably unlikely. And I told you about this about a week ago. This idea has been floating around for years. The Treasury Department, Yellen, Janet Yellen, has the authority to issue platinum coins in any denomination. I always hate that word. And there's this, they're having the budget problems. They're having the debt ceiling issues. They can't make decisions. They can't even do a basic budget anymore, and they want to spend us into oblivion. So, hey, why not just print or mint, I should say, a $1 trillion platinum coin, roll it on over to the Federal Reserve, and then get bushels of cash. It's all legal and possible. It is unlikely, but nowadays, who the heck knows anymore, right? We shall see what happens, and we'll keep on top of it, folks. Welcome, and thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today, and I'd love to hear from you. As always, the Just Wireless text line is open just for you, 877-971-3971. And I've got a super busy show for you that you may want to comment on and send me a text comment. We have a candidate for Arizona Attorney General for the Republican nomination, Rodney Glassman, is going to join us and talk about the importance of the Attorney General's office, especially imagine if Arizona goes blue and we have a Democrat governor. He's going to break down why it's more important than ever that we get a continue to have a Republican Attorney General, because Mark Brnovich, Attorney General Brnovich, who's a frequent guest here on the program, he is termed out, plus he's running for the U.S. Senate. So we'll talk with Rodney Glassman, and I've got an Arizona News Roundup as well. And back to the text comments. I am doing text comments all this week. I will plan on doing live listener calls next Tuesday, a week from today. I was going to do it today, but I'm going to the Stop the Bleed training course that Rob Wilson at Timberline Firearms and Training offers. I've got to get out there by 5:30. So I got some great special interviews coming up for you during the 5 o'clock hour, but I wanted to take my family out to Timberline's Stop the Bleed training. You know, I'm out in the forest a lot. I cut firewood. You just never know nowadays. And I preach self-reliance and being able to do things on your own. I think that's super important, especially in today's day and age where, you know, if Facebook goes out like it did yesterday, the world's like in a panic and people are having withdrawal symptoms. We're so hooked on these technologies. In fact, there's an article in the Jerusalem Post about Facebook going down and the vulnerabilities, the what they call a doomsday scenario in future conflict. This is an analysis from the Jerusalem Post about enough people relying on just one or two tech giants for everything they do and everything you create. And they say it's like a Pearl Harbor-like vulnerability. And we're in a Cold War here with China, but it's different than, say, the Cold War we had with the Soviet Union, because we didn't rely on the Soviet Union to produce and provide us cheap goods. And we do now more than ever. Look at the shelves. Shelves are bare in certain areas in the U.S. right now because of supply chain issues. And I've talked about all the containers that are off the port of Los Angeles, Long Beach out there. Something like 500,000 containers, last I checked, are out there. There's a problem in Atlanta. This is happening all over the world where we are reliant on China and Southeast Asia for pretty much everything in our lives nowadays. Even the technology, the things that we may assemble and manufacture here, relies on components from overseas. So we're relying on China. We're in a cold war with them that I hope doesn't turn into a hot war eventually, because that would be one of the worst scenarios for the world, right? And this is, we are reliant on the internet. We imagine if they did some kind of cyber attack, and maybe the next war is biological and cyber related. I don't know. It's a huge concern going forward. And we rely so much on China, but we also rely on just a few big tech companies to run everything. And if somebody wants to attack those, look, Facebook went down. Any of these, I don't know why they went down, but we've seen plenty of cyber attacks and this ransomware stuff in other acts that have happened. So we'll get more details, but we better get it together. So anyway, I'm going to stop the bleed because I want to be more self-reliant, and I want my family to be able to take care of some basic things like stopping, you know, me if I cut myself, stop me from bleeding out if I cut myself with a chainsaw. You can check out Timberline Firearms and Trainings, training courses. Look up Timberline Firearms and Training. Just Google it. I'm talking about one of the big tech companies. Google it, you can get the information and take a future training course. Let's get on some kind of my picks for some of the Arizona big news items. I haven't done this in a while, so let's just stick with Arizona. I guess there's a former county health official, Jeffrey Lee. He pled guilty. Former county health director for Coconino County pled guilty to one count of theft for misusing public money while working for Coconino County Health Department and two counts of violating his duties as custodian of public monies. I guess what this guy did is he pled guilty to a plea agreement. He used the county's credit card, mostly Coconino County, over $84,000 of 237 purchases that he made on the county credit card, your tax dollars, on things like camping gear, weight loss supplements, and tools. Here's a quote, about 40 of these purchases, including gift cards, were made on Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, weekends, or when Mr. Lee was on vacation. That's from the Auditor General report that first flagged this. He resigned from Coconino County in 2017, and he just reached a plea deal. Like I said, he went to work for Navajo County after that as director there, I believe. So now he hit a plea deal. He must pay restitution of $82,500 to Coconino County and $1,700 to Navajo County, plus 9 months in jail. I don't think that's harsh enough. I mean, I think when you steal from the taxpayers, like this guy has done, you should be in jail a lot longer. And I mean, come on. It's just like, where's the public trust here? You got to send a message that you do not steal from the taxpayers. Plus, who does that? I mean, oh my God. How would you not think you're going to get caught? And like, okay, I did it once. I did it twice. That's horrible. 237 purchases? My gosh. Okay, I talked to you about this yesterday. Arizona-based Bashes grocery store is selling to a California chain. Another Bashes-like company from California. This isn't like a super-duper huge company. They're smaller as well. And I wanted to get you more details because I didn't have a lot of information yesterday. But I guess there's over 100 Bashes stores in Arizona, and I think some in New Mexico. They're going to be acquired by Raleigh's, R-A-L-E-Y-S, Raleigh's, which is based out of Sacramento, California. And Trey Basha, who's the president and CEO of Basha's right now, told 12 News that one of the big reasons, and get this all ties in with what I talk about all the time, he said what happened, quote, is during the pandemic, what we saw is that we were not getting the same product that a great deal of our competition was receiving. He said that the scale was critical, that we needed to scale up, we needed to buy, sell, or merge in order to be able to compete in this marketplace. And it was about that time that Raleigh's reached out to us, to Bashes, because they were experiencing something similar in their family-owned regional grocery stores as well. So they're having these smaller companies, and Bash is a pretty good sized company, but when you're competing against the Walmarts, the Safeways, and Kroger's, the big ones, they're going to gobble up the supply chain first. And when you have supply chain crunches like we're having now, it's hard to get the stuff. So we're all experiencing the same thing. Anyway, this sale is expected to be done by 2021. They say everything's going to kind of remain the same, but we shall see. Speaking of cybersecurity, And we talked about Facebook yesterday. Facebook was down for like 6 hours yesterday. Don't know why. Haven't checked back up on that one. I'll do some more research. But we see this problem continuing. We've seen schools. Remember, Flagstaff Unified School District a couple years ago was they had ransomware attack against them. We've seen this happen all over the place. So Arizona now has a cyber command center has been launched. Governor Ducey sent out a press release. And did some ceremony at the Department of Public Safety's Arizona Counterterrorism Information Center, ICTIC. It must have people just think of these long names. It's in Phoenix, of course. Quote, cybersecurity, this is from the governor, cybersecurity is homeland security. Our society is becoming increasingly interconnected through technology, and cybersecurity has become one of the most important issues facing Arizona, said Governor Ducey. So the agency's headed by someone who's been on the program before, and I'll see if I can unearth this interview or get in touch with him once again. Director and Chief Information Officer is Tim Romer. We spoke with him on a past show. This was maybe a year or two ago. He's now going to head up the Cyber Command Center, and it's the headquarters will coordinate statewide cybersecurity operations, and the center will be the central location for cybersecurity professionals and local, state, and federal agencies to prevent and respond to cyber attacks. So there you go, beefing up that cybersecurity. It's a battle, though. It's the criminals are always just a couple steps ahead, and you're always just trying to catch up because these people are always innovating. They may not even be, probably not even in the U.S. a lot of the times. So it's an interesting battle to fight. Fort Verde Days is this weekend. This is Camp Verde's 65th annual Fort Verde Days, October 9th and 10th. And there's actually a parade. Let's see, it starts Saturday to, did I say 9th? Yeah, Saturday to 9th, 9 a.m. flag raising ceremony. I'm going to be in Camp Verde this weekend, and I've never gone to Fort Verde Days, so I'm going to try to do that. It's at the Fort Verde State Historic Park, kind of right there in the center of town by City Hall there. And anyway, they got lots of folks and fashion show and this and that. And there's a parade. What time is the parade? I don't see what time this parade is. I know there is a parade. I should have had this before. The reason why I mentioned parade is because there's the Red Wave Splash at the Fort Verde Days Parade. And I got this from a listener. They're asking for volunteers. This is a march in the Fort Verde Days Parade, the Red Wave Splash. And they're looking to get people involved and be part of this parade. So this is a very long flyer here. Should have read this one first. Meeting in the Bash's parking lot at 650 Finney Flat Road in Camp Verde at 8 to 8:30 a.m. so they can organize and position the entry. The parade begins at 10 a.m. If you want to RSVP, I will put the information in today's show notes if you want to be involved. Or if you want to just go out there and watch the parade go by, I may be out there as well. Let's see. Do we have time for this? Let's come back with this one. I have a bunch of companies have been given grant dollars for tourism. And some of them are actually right here in Northern Arizona from Prescott to Flagstaff. So I want to go over some of those here when we come back. Sponsor this segment of the show is my good friends at the Blind Brothers. And when you call the Blind Brothers for blinds, shutters, or shades, you're going to work directly with them in 3 decades of combined experience, never with subcontractors. And right now, my listeners, give them a call and you can get half off installation. Just please mention you heard it on the show here. So you can get half off installation from the Blind Brothers in addition to any other advertised specials. Call the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com. All right, got a lot more to come. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
Listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
Candidate for Arizona Attorney General Rodney Glassman. He's going for the Republican nomination. He's going to join me in the next segment, so stick around for that. By the way, it's happy hour at Sportsman's Bar and Grill up by the hospital in the Bash's Shopping Center. Voted best sports bar 13 years in a row. 17 TVs there, folks. Sportsman's Bar and Grill with... They got all day, every day, $3 Mexican canned beers and hard seltzers, $4 daily craft beer specials, $6 32-ounce mug specials. Plus, today is Tuesday, which means it's Taco Tuesday. $3 tacos at Sportsman's Bar and Grill, shrimp, fish, lobster, carnitas, steak, and I've also got chicken. And it's also Tap Tuesday. So it's Taco Tuesday and Tap Tuesday. All pints, $4, including Mother Road and more. Check out my friends at Sportsman's Bar and Grill up by the hospital in Flagstaff in the Bash's Shopping Center. I assume still Bash. Yeah, they're, as I said, Bash is getting bought out by a California company, but I think it'll remain Bash's for a long time going forward. I don't know if there's a name change coming or not. Hey, send me a text comment. Remember, text lines are open anytime, 877-971-3971. By the way, I got a voicemail yesterday, and when I say we're doing text comments, we're doing text comments. It means we don't have the open lines, and we'll try to fix the voicemail system where it doesn't put you and keep looping you through so long. So we will look at that, but I will bring back open lines next Tuesday, and we'll do 2 full hours of your live listener comments next Tuesday. It's hard for me to do it because I need 2 extra people to do the phones than I normally need on a regular day. So I have to keep the operations nimble and small. So we'll do that next Tuesday to open lines. So stick around for more info on that. I am going to the Stop the Bleed training today too at 5:30 out at Timberline Firearms and Training. So okay, let's see here. The Visit Arizona grant dollars have been distributed statewide. I told you I was going to do a bunch of Arizona news roundups today and information. So the Arizona Office of Tourism today announced that 43 businesses and organizations across the state will receive a total of more than $9.4 million in Visit Arizona Initiative Partnership grant funding. Again, I just think they have people thinking up these names. They're always so long. Which supports the relaunch or expansion of a wide variety of festivals, arts, and culture and community events statewide. And here's a quote from the director, Debbie Johnson, director of Arizona Office and Tourism, the AOT is what that's called. Quote, with tourism being the hardest hit industry and still working to recover, we were really focused during this initial round on getting funds to communities that needed it the most. And I've got some numbers here and some companies. I do want to comment generally on, look, if you're a company that got this money, I'm glad you got the grant money. Everybody's got to do what they can to survive in this world and do what they can that's best for their business, to grow their business. But this is always a symptom of government. So government does shutdowns, lockdowns because of COVID. They close everything down, especially tourism was especially hit because nobody wanted to travel or they couldn't travel. Do you see a lot of foreign travelers around Arizona? When's the last time you went up to the Grand Canyon? Usually, Americans are in the minority up at these places in many parts, many times of the year, which is fine. But you don't have that right now. So you have government-imposed travel restrictions for 18, 19 months, lockdowns, shutdowns. And, you know, they cause this stuff. And then they come up with plans to distribute money to try to boost it back up. They always cause bubbles and then cause crashes and then they cause problems. If we were just to get less government, we'd be so much better off. If we get them out of our hair in all facets of our life, we'd be better off. We wouldn't need the aid. We would weather things, downturns, and so on and so forth, naturally over shorter periods of times. But anyway, the government's always got to get involved, and then they've got to come up with aid money to help people out. And like, again, I'm not belittling the folks that took this, because you got to do what you got to do to survive and deal with government situation. Look, I just opened my mail today, and you may be getting these as well. The property tax bills are coming, right? Oh, those things come like clockwork. You could be shut down. You could be closed up, but the property tax bills will keep coming. Remember when everything shut down and at first with COVID in 2020, early 2020, I had guests on that were saying, hey, we need to put a pause on property tax collection. And it couldn't get the support. Even from a lot of Republicans, could not get the support to put a pause on property tax collections when businesses were shut down. I had commercial tenants that couldn't pay their rent during that time period, like hairstylists, hairdressers, things like that, because they were closed by the government. But the property tax bills kept coming, right? In fact, they're going up. So they go up. Real estate values went up during this pandemic. I thought they were going to crash. They went up a lot. We've talked about that. So your property taxes are going up, and there's a lag time. There's about an 18-month lag time, about the duration of this COVID emergency and the COVID wars thus far. So you're going to be getting your property tax bills, and there's going to be increases. And I'll always steal a line from my good friend, former Flagstaff Jerry Neighbors, just because your property taxes go up, or your property values go up, I should say. Does that mean you have any more money in your pocket? Nope, absolutely not. So that'll keep coming. So anyway, there's these grants out there, and that's fine. That's the world we live in, and I would take them too, especially when the government shuts you down. So there's I have no qualms there. It's $9.4 million. You got about $1 million of that going to three regions in rural Arizona. Over, nearly half the money actually went to southern Arizona, to the Tucson area. Let's see, northern region, you've got, this is Coconino, Navajo counties, and Apache, $452,698. Flagstaff Dark Sky Coalition, Creative Flagstaff, Cloth and Flame, Flagstaff Symphony Orchestra, Grand Canyon Music Festival, Lowell Observatory, Museum of Northern Arizona, Peak Events, which actually does the Flagstaff Blues and Brews Festival, which I think is the largest blues festival in the state. They couldn't do it last year. They were shut down for 2 years, right? You got North Central Region, Gila and Yavapai Counties, $364,000. You got the Prescott Chamber of Commerce in there, Sedona Arts Center, Sedona Mountain Bike Festival. And then the West Coast Region, Mojave, Yuma, and La Paz Counties got $235,000. City of Kingman, Goleke Havasu, Parker Regional Chamber of Commerce, Yuma History Museum. Yuma's kind of cool if you go there to that old fort. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's kind of cool, especially if you want to take the kids. But the Flagstaff Blues and Brews Festival got it, so they've had 2 years. Here's a quote from the owner or director here, Jennifer Grogan. As Arizona's largest blues festival, Flagstaff Blues and Brews brings visitors from several other states to northern Arizona. She's the owner of Peak Events, which puts on the event. And I know Jennifer from the past and when I was on the city council, so she puts on a great festival. Two years without this and other major events have been difficult on Flagstaff businesses, so we're very happy to be able to stage it again in 2022 with the support from the VAI grant. So again, I'm glad these businesses are getting it, because they should, because they got just slaughtered from the government shutdowns. And it dragged on and on. So I'm glad these things will be going on. They are big revenue generators for the community and fun, too. So get out and support some of these events. I mentioned the Fort Verde Days is happening this weekend in Camp Verde. There's a parade down there that you can participate in. And what's that parade at 10 a.m.? So check that out. All right. Sponsor of this segment of the show is actually our good friends at Timberline Firearms and Training. They are only 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall, and I'm heading out there here just as we finish up this hour. And coming up next is candidate for Arizona Attorney General Rodney Glassman. He's going to be joining me, and then I've got some great special interviews for you next hour, because I'm going out to the Stop the Bleed training course out at Timberline Firearms and Training. And I think these courses, they also have handgun training courses, AR-15, but just anything you can imagine, they can help you get more proficient and handle firearms more safely. So I'll be out there at Timberline Firearms and Training doing that training course, and I hope that you'll sign up for one of their courses as well. All right, my next guest coming up here when we come back from the break, like I said, very important office and a very important election coming up in 2022 for Arizona Attorney General. Rodney Glassman will join us. And if you got a comment, I'd love to hear from you. The Just Wireless text line, 877-971-3971. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, I've got candidate for Arizona Attorney General for the Republican nomination, Rodney Glassman, coming up next. But first, our sponsor for this segment of the show is Just Wireless. And Just Wireless has sponsored our phone line and, more importantly today, our text line. Send in a text anytime, 877-971-3971. And Just Wireless has two locations in Flagstaff. Their Milton Avenue location, right over there by the Cold Stone Creamery, where you can drop off your smartphone, your cell phone, your gaming console, your tablets, things like that, and get them repaired. Rather than getting a brand new device, which who knows, it may be stuck in a container off the coast of California right now anyway, you can save a ton of money by fixing your existing devices. And it's more than that. It's better than that. It's super convenient because you can actually go to their location in East Flagstaff, Just Wireless, right across from the Flagstaff Mall, and go through their drive-thru and just drop off your phone or your smartphone, your tablets, your gaming console. I did that. They fixed my phone. They fixed my charging port on my iPhone. They fixed my mother-in-law's phone with a new battery. They can fix broken screens. Plus, they have refurbished devices as well, so it's good for the environment rather than getting a brand new expensive phone. Just Wireless can help you out with a refurbished device or fix your existing devices. Check out Just Wireless and their drive-through location right across from the Flagstaff Mall. All right, joining us is Rodney Glassman, who is running for Arizona Attorney General. This office is currently held by Attorney General, Republican Attorney General Mark Brnovich, a frequent guest here on the program. He's termed out, so this is what we'd call an open seat. And I guess it's pretty simple, Rodney. The first question I usually ask is, for anybody getting into any of these races, why do you want to get into this race?
Well, Jeff, I'm running for Arizona Attorney General because I know that my job as Attorney General is to protect you from the government. And as a husband and a father and a businessman just like you, I'm pissed,
yeah,
and just frustrated with everything that's going on. And we need an attorney general who's going to fight for us, is our attorney, who's going to push back on the Biden-Harris administration and all their overreach, that's going to make sure that there's no more mandates, no more shutdowns, no more government orders that are destroying jobs and killing businesses.
I don't think people realize what risk Arizona is at becoming a state where there may be a Democrat governor coming up, could even be a Democrat attorney general. The legislature could flip. Right now, the legislature's 29-31 in the House and 16-14 in the Senate. I mean, this state could change really quick as far as the political landscape. We could become New Mexico, Colorado, or God, heaven forbid, California, really quick.
No, most certainly. And I'm an Air Force JAG prosecutor. I've prosecuted financial crimes and drug dealers and, you know, protected victims of sexual assault. And I know the damage that has been done by government when it comes to our local police officers. And we need an attorney general who understands and is ready to push back on everything that's going on and protecting all of us.
Do you think, Rodney, that was enough done in the past couple of years by whether it be Arizona's attorney general or attorney generals across the nation in general? Let's start with things like shutdowns. I remember when COVID first hit and I was out there just screaming, and I was so upset, honestly, at the current governor, and he's been doing better lately. He's been doing a lot of things that I'm like, okay, thank you for doing that now. But I look back to March and April of what, 2020, when businesses were being shut down. You couldn't even rent a tube on the Salt River to go down that because of COVID, and people were being shut down, small businesses. Do you think enough was done, and what would be your stance? I mean, on shutdowns, if a governor came in, let's say you're attorney general and a Democrat's in there, and Democrats love to lock and shut things down. What would you do? What could you do?
Well, Jeff, I'm not a fan of mandates. I'm not a fan of shutdowns. And what I would do as attorney general is really understand and focus on how to protect businesses. Make sure that there isn't overreach. You know, if you visit my website, it's rodneyglassman.com. You know, I always remind everyone, my job is to protect you from the government. And that could mean the federal government. It could mean school districts that are teaching critical race theory or trying to impose that on our kids. There's been too many moving targets when it comes to regulation. You know, I'm frustrated because, you know, their families following the rules. There are kids that are 14 years old that are getting vaccinated, that are following the rules of their school district. And next thing you know, they're being told they have to put a mask back on. they're business owners following all the rules of the Department of Health Services. And next, you know, they're being told that they can't operate. And this has ramifications. And I think when you have people in elected office that haven't been in the business community, that haven't worked before, and they're the ones making the decisions, it's a trying time, and it's something that we can't survive. So we need to have a real fighter. I'm proud, you know, that I am an attorney with real business people and real citizens that hire me on a regular basis. That's how I feed my family. You know, I've now served in the Air Force for over a decade, you know, prosecuting, protecting, serving in uniform. I'm the only candidate that's served in uniform that's running for attorney general, and I'm proud of that. And so I'm going to be the one pushing back and protecting all of us from the government.
So when you look at something like you already said, I mean, vaccine mandate, let's start with that. That's one of the biggest issues of the day. And you had President Biden coming up with this national vaccine mandate for those that have 100 or more employees, which has got to be unconstitutional. And I know that current Attorney General Mark Brnovich, he's on the program last week talking about this, suing the Biden administration. I guess first question, would you be right in there? Would you have filed the lawsuit right away like he did?
I applaud our current attorney general for, I believe, being the first attorney general in the country to push back and file a lawsuit against the administration. You know, the federal government telling individual business owners how to deal with their employees and telling individuals that they have to get a shot. You know, Jeff, right now, the president, Biden, would like to mandate or has mandated that employees of private businesses have to get a shot in their arm.
Yeah.
But for citizens and that are on welfare, for people that are coming to this country illegally, he's not requiring any such thing. That makes no sense. It's illogical. And we need an attorney general that's going to push back on that kind of nonsensical policymaking from Washington, D.C. They're out of touch. And just like you hire a lawyer locally to protect you, we need to have an attorney general that's willing to push back and protect and fight.
They did the Haitians, and I was talking with Congressman Andy Biggs about this. They disappeared. We were told by Jen Psaki, the press secretary for Biden, that most of these people, they're going to be sent back, and they don't need the vaccine because they're not going to be here long. As if we were all just morons, and they dispersed into the country. They're gone because they didn't like the visual of how bad the border is. How bad is the border? Being a border state here in Arizona, the attorney general really can, I think they can have a lot of power to try to follow laws, which is you can't come into this country illegally. What can you do as attorney general?
Well, and Jeff, this is where I'll urge you to visit my website at rodneyglassman.com, because one of the key jobs and the key roles of the Arizona attorney general is to enforce the laws that we have on the books right here in Arizona. We have immigration enforcement laws. We have a law that says you have to have two forms of valid ID to vote. We have a law that Arizona voters passed that talks about how if you're here illegally and you commit a crime, you are not eligible for bail. You're not allowed to sue for punitive damages. We can enforce the laws that we have on the books, and that's the job of the Arizona Attorney General, to make this state a place where people are not interested in coming illegally, and we can do more of that, and that will be one of my priorities as the attorney general.
We live in a time though where people are just flouting the law. The president of the United States, when it came to, let me go back to the eviction moratorium. Rodney, I've talked about so many times here on the program, and Rodney Glassman is with us. He's running for the Republican nomination for Arizona Attorney General. I said right when this happened, the eviction moratorium is unconstitutional. I don't care if the president's doing it, the 9 month out of being a professor, head of the CDC, or Congress is doing, it's got to be unconstitutional to tell one business group of people, a group of people, that they can't collect money for services rendered. And Biden was pretty much told that. And then he still went and enacted it and said, I'm doing an executive order. Now it's since been taken away, but it lasted for a few more weeks than it should have. How do you go up against the president of the United States? Because I think that in your position as attorney general, it's going to be more and more butting heads, because there's going to be more and more federal intrusion, especially on what I will call the more free, liberty-minded states like Arizona, Texas, Florida, to name a few.
And it's the AG's job in Arizona to protect us from the government. That means pushing back on the Biden administration. It means pushing back on state government when they're passing laws that encroach on our citizens. It means pushing back on school districts. It really does just depend on where that overreach is coming from. But I plan on fighting all of it. Ken Paxton in Texas is a great example of someone who pushes back consistently every day, pushing back. Our attorney general has begun to do that even more. And that's what we do. We need a fighter in this role. I'm proud to be the only Republican running for attorney general that went out and helped fundraise and campaign and contribute to get the Republican nominee, Donald Trump, elected this past election. We need a fighter. We need someone that served in uniform. You talk about our police departments, you know, down here in the Valley, my family, we live in Phoenix, and the Department of Justice now talks about federal overreach is coming in and trying to choke off the Phoenix Police Department with a pattern of practice investigation, just trying to do whatever they can to make serving as a police officer as unhospitable a job as they can. And that's on my website as well at rodneyglassman.com. My position that, you know, we need to keep the feds out of our policing, you know, local. And that's where the attorney general can come in.
What about education? I spend a ton of time, and everybody that comes through, maybe not as much on your position. I don't know. I'll let you chime in on that. But when they're running for the legislature, they're running for the governor. One of the most important things to me is empowerment scholarship accounts and vouchers for all, because I don't think we're going to fix this country until we fix what's in our going into our kids' heads. It's going to take decades. What these schools, some and many, have been teaching has been detrimental to our country. A lot of people want ESAs. What if you're like the only, you're the one Republican in statewide office, and you've got the governor, you've got the legislature, all of that flips to Democrat, and all of a sudden they come after this ability to educate your kids how you want them. It's the state that determines the education. Is there a role for the attorney general in that?
Most certainly, Jeff. I am a champion of school choice. Not only am I a champion of school choice, but my family lives school choice. My wife serves on a charter school board, and I have consistently been an advocate for ESAs, consistently been an advocate for school choice. And the attorney general actually has a very significant role. We live in a time where our superintendent of public instruction is not an advocate for school choice. She's not an advocate for charter schools. She'd like to see them go away. And so to have an attorney general, the head lawyer for the state, to make sure that families have the choice that the law provides them is critical, to make sure that they have an attorney representing their family when they want to move to a different school, when they want to take that funding with them. And that's what I plan to do as the attorney general, be a real advocate for families.
There's been a lot of it hasn't been a warm relationship from all I've gathered between the current attorney general, Republican Mark Brnovich, and Republican governor, Doug Ducey. Both, you know, Governor Ducey used to come on this show quite a bit, the past 18 months with, COVID and, my stance on some of his positions. He hasn't come back. Attorney General Brnovich has been on there, but there's been on here a lot just last week. In fact, there's been a lot of conflict though between the two offices, I think. And there's been this push that the attorney general doesn't have the authority to launch certain lawsuits without the legislature or the governor's blessing. And maybe I'll get your take on this. And specifically what I can remember is when it came to the rates for tuition at our universities. And what the governor was saying is that the attorney general doesn't have standing. And I think a lot of that has come back lately and said, what does the attorney general have standing when you've got a governor, in this case of the same party, saying you don't have standing to bring this lawsuit? You care to comment on that a bit, that relationship that I think has been really lacking?
Well, I'm running for attorney general to protect you from the government, not just the federal government. Might be the state government at times. It might be local government at times. You know, it might be school districts that are overreaching or trying to jam things down our kids' throats. And so as attorney general, which is an independently elected office, I'm going to fight for Arizonans. And I'm going to go to the courts when necessary to file lawsuits that put Arizona families, Arizona business, and Arizona taxpayers first. That's going to be my plan as attorney general. Right now, we have a Republican governor, but the time may come where we have a Democrat governor or a Democrat legislature. And that is why it's so critical that the attorney general is independently elected, so that I will be able to fight for Arizonans and protect Arizonans from the government, no matter who's in charge.
Okay. Yeah. Even if it's a Republican, because like I'm saying, Ducey's, Governor Ducey's gotten things really right lately, but didn't at first. And
no more mandates, no more shutdowns, no more government orders that kill jobs and destroy business.
Regardless of if there's 2 cases or 20,000.
At the end of the day,
whatever the issue may be,
to protect it's my job to protect you from the government.
Okay, Jeff. I think that's a big thing. All right, Rodney, when is the primaries? What, early August? We've got a little bit of time, but it's coming quick.
The primaries early August. Yeah. I'm traveling the state. I'm raising funds at rodneyglasson.com. It's going to be an expensive race because of the fact that the attorney general's office is the tip of the spear when it comes to protecting you from the government.
Yeah.
So I'd love for your listeners to visit my website. I'd love for them to ask them to contribute. If they're interested in hosting anything up in Northern Arizona, I'm all there.
Okay. And we'll put the website link in the show notes once this gets podcast as well. Rodney and folks, Rodney Glassman, running for Arizona Attorney General. We wish you the best. I'm sure we will talk again, especially as we get into the new year and everything really, really kicks in and people really start focusing on these races. Because like you said, AG is something people are looking for. If they can't get the governorship, hey, let's get AG. They got superintendent last time.
With or without the governor's office, with or without the state legislature, the reality is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are teaching everyone how important it is to have an attorney general willing to fight them, willing to protect Arizonans. And that's why I know my job is to protect you from the government. And I look forward to earning everyone's vote.
Sponsor for this segment of the show is Sun State Tech. And since 2007, Sun State Tech has been helping Arizona businesses and municipalities operate quickly and safely. They handle cybersecurity, which is very important, folks. I read that article earlier about our security, cybersecurity, the extreme vulnerabilities we have as a society and as a nation. Sun State Tech handles cybersecurity. Super important, managed IT services, voice over IP, and more. Let the experts at Sun State Tech keep your company safe and moving faster than the competition. Visit sunstatetech.com today. That's sunstatetech.com. All right, still to come, my team's put together some great interviews for you for the next hour. I'm heading to Timberline Firearms and Training for their Stop the Bleed course with my family. Going to get some valuable knowledge in my head and my kid's head on that one. And still to come this week, Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake is going to join us. Plus, Senator Wendy Rogers will stop by again with a guest of her own, Missouri senatorial candidate Eric Greitens, who's pushing for an election audit in Missouri. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Look up Talk with Jeff on your favorite podcast provider.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
How dysfunctional is D.C.? Is it worse than we think? And how the heck do we fix this mess that we're in? Another hour of the show starts now. All right, welcome to another hour of the show. Jeff Horovitz here. As always, the Just Wireless text line is open for you. We're doing text comments right now, so send those in and we will get them coming up here on a future show. Speaking of future shows, we do have Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake coming up this week still. And I know a lot of you have requested for her to come on the show, so we look forward to that. And if you've got a comment, love to hear from you. Text 877-971-3971. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our good friends at Gutter Helmets of Northern Arizona, the number one gutter protection company in the world. If you don't want to clean those gutters, you don't want to go up on those ladders up on the roof and pick out the pine needles and the leaves and all that goop from your gutters, then you need to call or text Carl, the gutter helmet man, right now, and he'll get you set up and fix those gutters so you don't have to scoop that stuff out anymore. Call or text Carl, the gutter helmet man, right now at 928 318 928-6555. That's 928-318-6555. Okay, I got a special interview coming up here for you, interview extra with Congressman Paul Gosar. As you know, I've decided to head out to the Stop the Bleed training with my family out at Timberline Firearms and Training, trying to put some good knowledge into my kids' heads that may be helpful. And if I ever cut myself with a chainsaw or something, maybe they can save me with this kind of training. So I'll be doing that. But anyway, I did catch up with Congressman Paul Gosar recently to talk about the dysfunction in D.C. I guess we'll start with this, Congressman. Is it as bad as I think it is, or am I overreacting as far as D.C. corruption, ineptitude, just idiocy, divisiveness? Or is it even worse than myself or the average American is even aware of, Congressman?
It's actually worse, Jeff. I'm happy to jump on the first plane out of here to get back here where there's at least some sanity. So it's bad back here.
Yeah, I figured that, and we're seeing it right now with, it's almost like an analogy here. It's like taking someone who's never seen a tree, and off in a distance there's the forest, and you're like, there's trees down there, and they don't even know what a tree is. It's so bad right now. And now we've got, let's start with the government shutdown, Congressman. We've seen this before. You've been on the program before when this has happened. I think when President Trump first got in, this occurred. What's the nuts and bolts right now of this shutdown? Just lay it out for us. Potential shutdown, or has it been averted?
No, it has not yet. So we'll be going to the floor here a little bit to make a vote on the debt ceiling and the continuing resolution, the funds through December 15th. Once again, Democrats had no interest in working with Republicans with their agenda all the way through here. So our take is if you didn't want to take any of our suggestions beforehand, you don't need them now to raise the debt ceiling and to pass the CR. So that's strictly up to them. They chose that, by the way, they decided to lead, or lack of leadership there. And what they're trying to do is have their cake and eat it too. They want to progress a socialistic, communistic agenda item all the way through, this $3.5 trillion, which now has boomed up down to now more like $5.5 trillion, closer to $6 trillion, with all the add-ons that have been coming right and left and getting some scores back. So, it's preposterous that they're wanting us to vote on something that hasn't even been written. Hasn't even been written, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Now the old adage, you have to pass the bill to find out what's in the bill. Now we have to pass the bill to be able to write the bill.
Oh, my. That is worse than I thought, Paul. I mean, so, yeah, we're talking back to Obamacare, and it's like, hey, you got to pass it to know what's in it. But now you're saying, hey, this thing ain't even really formulated yet. How is that even legal or constitutional? How does that even get through this process?
It's not. It absolutely is not. It defies parliamentary rules. It defies, good governance. It defies good process. I've always said, and I've held my leadership accountable as well. So those that chastise me being partisan, take a look at this. Good process builds good policy, builds good politics. And that is required not just in Republicans, but Democrats alike. Our framework was built on the many aptitudes, the many ideas, the many virtues that people have, coming together and building something, give and take the debate.
Yeah.
But we don't have even the debate now. So, it's sad that this process is so broken.
We've been, you bring up a great point. We've been siloed, and I can draw this back even to kind of your local school boards all the way to the top in Congress. It's just one side kind of, you get this snowball effect and you get groupthink, and that's all we're getting at this point. And right now it's the leftists in D.C. that are putting the groupthink upon all of us with, like you said, Marxist leftist ideas.
Absolutely. There's no debate. There's no room for questioning. Even when you start looking at COVID, if there's their pretend science that matters, nothing else of sound science that can be admitted. So, they rant and rave that, the true aspect of the First Amendment to debate, the freedom of speech, the freedom of ideas, the freedom to assemble, doesn't exist anymore. It's only them that matters. And that is so wrong. That violates every principle that this country's ever stood for.
Yeah. And Congressman, folks talking with Congressman Paul Gosar, the government shutdown, there's a continuing resolution, so they're going to keep the government funded through what? Is it long-term, or is this just into December?
December 15th. Once again, Jeff, they're going to back it up by a drop-dead date. You know, so they threaten us by either Thanksgiving or Christmas, Christmas being the more applicable, because people want to get back and be with their families during Christmas. So they always back you up so that you have to make these rash decisions to get out of here. And that is entirely wrong. That is totally wrong in that regard. But both sides play the game, Jeff. Yeah. And it's wrong, not just for Democrats, but Republicans to do the same.
So December 15th, this makes it through the House, the Senate, and then you got to come back. And like you said, you're right against Christmas and where people want to go back to their families. So then all of a sudden there'll be another CR or something worse or something long term or packed in some kind of bill. I mean, what do you see coming then in December?
Well, I don't see anything but a CR because okay. I think you now see the Democrats, particularly the moderates, now understanding, you know, how futile this actually is. They see the plummeting numbers of the Mr. Biden and this administration. They see the plummeting numbers in the regards to the agenda. They see now holdouts that are mold and broken, like our own Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. So, you know, people are wising up. And when you take a look at this, and you know, all states are going through redistricting. And so that's kind of an unsettling point. You don't know what your base is going to, look like. Mm-hmm. Two is you're now being forced to make a decision that's very, very unpopular. And you have primaries in which you already faced almost every single Democrat moderate is facing somebody from their left, from the AOCs and the Jayapals and the Ilhan Omars to their left. And those primaries start coming up in February. So then the self-preservation model starts kicking in for these people. And so what ends up happening is maybe the status quo of what we have in a continuing resolution is easier and more palatable than this god-awful atrocity that they're trying to push through and shove through any way, shape, or form.
You bring up an interesting point, Paul, because we're getting close to those primaries and people start thinking political self-preservation. Is that perhaps, though, maybe a saving grace right now with how divided it is? It's 50-50 in the Senate. You're super close in the House. And President Biden is super unpopular now because what are we, 8 months? And this has been an epic disaster, like you and I and some others predicted it would be. Is this maybe a good thing, though, because now maybe these cogs will start grinding, they don't have the grease in there, or am I misreading the power of the leftists?
No, I think you're seeing it, but I also don't underestimate the influence and the power and the chastising that the left and these communist Marxists actually have. You know, they're very obstinate, they're very outspoken, they take no shame, they're happy to call people the names and call them out. So people have to realize that this is a minority trying to push through a majority. But if you look at history, something that they don't like to look at, if you look at the histories in Russia, in China, around the world, communism starts this way. It's a minority that always pushes the buttons, that it intimidates the masses, and they get suckered into it. They get bow broken into mm-hmm. along with this. But that's what we got to stop. But I think this is a good thing because I think people are coming to their senses. You know, you got over 10 million jobs sitting out there and you got 8 million people looking for jobs. Where's the beef?
Yeah.
Number two is now they want to extend the rent moratorium indefinitely. You know, there's no incentives then to actually get people back to work, to be proud, to be empowered instead of, you know, being victims. That's what they're pushing for, that the allowing of illegal aliens in this country to have a formal process to be able to become citizens. You know, this is fundamentally changing America, and that's wrong.
Well, a couple follow-ups here, Congressman, and then I want to move on to debt ceiling and this get into the meat and potatoes here of this $5-plus trillion spending package, whatever they're calling it. You've got Senator Sinema, obviously, here in Arizona. You've got Senator Manchin of West Virginia, who seem to be the only two that are stopping a lot of this stuff, stopping ending the filibuster and so on and so forth. Senator Manchin said that just what you were saying, hey, we're creating disincentives to work here. Are they enough? I know they met with Biden, or are they getting so much pressure? Do you think they're going to buckle on this issue? Give me your inside thoughts on that.
Well, so far, you know, our own Senator Kyrsten Sinema has stood strong. She's weathered well over $10 million of negative ads against her and those trying to change her mind. You know, so I think it behooves us, Arizonans, to call her office and support her, saying, listen, thank you for your stand, you know, where calmer minds are prevailing. This is ludicrous what we're considering. We're going off a cliff. This isn't the direction of this country, nor is it the direction of and the intention of Arizona. So we need to call and thank her and then continue to give her some support in regards to standing up strong, not only on this aspect, but on the filibuster, because we need to start looking at what they're trying to devolve, the federalization of elections, the taking illegal aliens and allowing them to, you know, go collect $200 and become citizens. Mm-hmm. These are changing things that you cannot change back. It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to do our job and start rallying behind them, you know. And most people will say, you know, that GOSTAR is so partisan. Why is he even saying this? Because it's all about this country. The foundation of this country is forever altered if those things happen.
Well,
so we have to stand on the support and support those people that are trying to stand up and keep that process from forever being infringed.
Paul, I am so glad you said this, because on Tuesday's show, Rob Wilson was with me. We both said, hey, you better call Sinema and Manchin. And you may not agree with them philosophically on a lot of things, but they're getting so much flack right now that you've got to, when people are doing the right thing, you've got to stand with them. Doesn't mean we're going to agree on the Second Amendment down the road or on a lot of things, because I think Sinema and Manchin are probably pretty far from you and I. But what I'll do, Paul, is I'll put in the show notes once the show podcast, we'll get Sinema and Manchin's number in there, and I think people should do that and let them know, because it's hard to stand alone.
It is, and the other thing too, Jeff, is we got another senator, you know, Senator Kelly. We need to address him, saying, listen, you know, remember, you know, this vote in September. Mm-hmm. I guess it was kind of the V for Vendetta. we need to put the pressure on him to come to his senses, you know, because, you know, there's applications to him too. We should not allow anybody to go past the people that we've elected to say, you know, we want you to stand up for the voice of the minority. We want you to stand up for debate. We want you to stand up on behind the principles that this country was founded on. So don't let anybody go by the wayside. We're all elected officials. Hold our feet to the fire.
Sponsor of this segment of the show is Desert Gold Exchange. And if investing in gold is new to you, call Desert Gold Exchange for a free investor's kit. And just mention that you heard it here on the show. You can also discuss if converting a portion of your existing IRA or 401k into gold or silver is right for you. Plus, they can deliver gold and silver anywhere within about 72 hours. Do your research, read their important risk information, and find out if precious metals is right for you. Call Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange. Give them a call right now at 888-852-4343. We've got more with Congressman Paul Gosar. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. Back in a minute.
Listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
Sponsor Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors. And Kelly Broaddus has perfected a system for generating and evaluating multiple offers to ensure you don't leave any money on the table. If you're frustrated by trying to get on this roller coaster of a market and buy before you maybe get priced out of the market, Kelly can also tell you exactly what it'll take to get into that house that you want. Don't put your home on the market without talking to Kelly Broaddus. Let her show you her system for maximizing profits with multiple offers. Sell your home for more with Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors. Call 928-606-6749 or visit NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. All right, continuing my interview with Congressman Paul Gosar. All right, we're talking with Congressman Paul Gosar, and it's a crazy day in D.C. right now. And let's get into, Paul, the $3.5 trillion, and I've broken this one down a lot over the past several days. We really don't know how much is in this thing. It could be as much as, like you were saying earlier, $5 trillion. It's nearly 2,500 pages. Do you have a list of some things you've unearthed, the more egregious, crazy crap that's in this thing? What are you coming up with?
Well, once again, one of the things that we're seeing is, and what we're hearing is that so much of this has not been written. You know, we're voting on a bill that has not been put together. It's in concept only. There is no writing as we speak. That is what is fundamentally wrong here. And as we spoke earlier, you know, now you have to pass a bill to actually write a bill. That's ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. That's taking us one step further down the crazy lane.
Yeah.
You know, before we had to pass a bill to find out what's in the bill. Now we have to pass the bill to find to be able to write the bill. And who's going to buy off on that?
Why do we even have a Congress? Just let the bureaucrats run it.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what's transpiring here. So you're seeing things like we talked about banking any transaction over $600 has to be reported. You're seeing a doubling of IRS agents. So it's not a matter of if you're going to be audited, it will be mandated to be audited almost every year. Unlike our election process, where we don't want to audit, you know, flawed results so that we get better results, here they're going to audit everybody to make sure that every nickel, every dime that you missed is taken up by Treasury. You know, once again, you know, strong arming of the American public instead of, you know, getting them invested in being able to better their lot in life. Empowering businesses to create jobs and keep more of their money. Well, we're doing the opposite of that. You know, so then we see other things like taking vast pieces of wilderness and taking it off the lands of access in Arizona, up around the areas of the Grand Canyon, areas that are not the Grand Canyon, that are surrounded, taking off in Colorado, taking those areas off. There's everything under the sun, you know, instead of looking at, you know, some of the principal causes of climate change under their jurisdiction, you know, why wouldn't we take a look at forest fires and catastrophic fires, which are the second most polluting event in nature, second only to volcanoes? Wouldn't it be better to maintain and manicure and thin our forests than to allow the catastrophic wildfires to go forward? It seems to me like that's a much better prospect. We're empowering instead of being victims.
Well, they don't understand the West. And you're chair of the Western Congressional Caucus, Congressman. They don't know what it's like out here. They don't know the size. I would love to take them out down some long Forest Service road just to show them what they're dealing with. They're clueless.
Absolutely. That was one of my big missions as chairman of the Western Caucus, was to bring people out here that haven't experienced it, to see with their own eyes. You know, where pill payments were promised, we're getting paid pennies on the dollar that we were promised. You know, the edicts of the federal government slowing down the process, like NEPA, not allowing us to move forward with responsible forest restorations, like the Four-Fry Initiative. You know, but once again, they want to get back to spending money. And if it was just the $3.5 trillion. Just listen to what it would cost every individual. The cost would be $27,000 for every household in America. Equates to spending $1,000 per second for the next 111 years.
Oh my gosh.
That's unbelievable. I mean, how many people, you know, get this?
No, I think that's the problem, Paul, is people don't get it, and it's become so big that they can't even fathom it, and it's such a lost thing to anyone anymore to understand all this stuff. I mean, you got what is this? $213 billion to retrofit 2 million homes in America to make them green. I'm like, that's $100,000 a house. What is this?
Oh, it's exactly right. Then what you do is you look at the new tax burdens. And before I go there, then you have a Speaker of the House that basically says this costs nothing.
Yeah.
This $5 trillion bill costs nothing. You got to be kidding me.
Was that her or Biden?
No, that was her.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
That was her.
No dollars.
Said it again. You have $2.1 trillion in new taxes. This is the largest tax increase since the expansion of the Great Society of the federal government. That touches everybody's life, not to talk about even inflation, the cost of goods and services, even if you could even get them. You know, we're still being backed up. I mean, new cars, food supplies,
I just read an article, Paul, about I don't take a lot of credit usually what the UN says, but they warned about dire situation with our supply chains worldwide. What if nations decide, hey, we better not ship that grain, or we better not ship this product because we're not sure about the supply? We got to keep it for national security issues.
Oh, absolutely. And who's the bully on the block? China. Yeah. They doubled up all these resources, whether they be food sources, whether they be resources like copper and coal and uranium, to rare earths and critical minerals. They've gone around the world through One Belt, One Road initiatives, gobbling these up from all nations around the world, and at the expense of those countries as well. So when we're going to be dictated to, when we have it sitting right next to us, when we do it better than anybody else in the world, when we have the cleanest applications around the world, when we have the most intense and most backed up child labor laws, I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
But the attacks will go on and on and on. I mean, and I brought up food. Now there's talk that we're not, because of the short supplies, we will have trouble supplying food to kids in the guaranteed food program.
This is like in the school programs and stuff like that, which they want to add to, by the way, I think, in this deal. Actually, they want to make it green. They want to make the lunches green. I was reading this yesterday, and because they want to get rid of paper plates. It's like, just have the kids wash some dishes, you know?
Oh, I know. It's not below me, and it shouldn't be below anybody else.
Yeah, but $100 billion to that, Paul. $100 billion, new schools and green school lunches.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredulous. So, I mean, this is still from every Tom, Dick, and Harry and everything that they really actually want on the wish list.
Okay. Well, Federal Reserve, and I know you got to go soon, but I want to finish up a couple of key points here. You've got some serious questions in the Federal Reserve. Two presidents resigning. One says it's for health. One says it's because of the trade issues. I mean, this is classic pump and dump stuff that happened. You got the people who are in charge of the money supply, pumped a bunch of money in, and naturally you get a huge stock market increase. Is there any talk about trying to fix this perceived corruption here?
Oh, there definitely is. But how do we do that? You know, the Fed is somewhat independent. The loyalties basically are from those that come from the presidents that are put forward by the current administration. You know, you brought up Janet Yellen, mm-hmm. The chair of the
Treasury Secretary, former chair of the Fed, right? Yellen?
And she's talking, you know, nonsense. You know, they're talking about, they're looking at still keeping things low. But most businesses now know in the United States, they've oversaturated America with money.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking through a quantitative easing just by the amount of money that is out in the public. You can't use it all up. But what it's doing is it's fundamentally changing markets. Now, the stock market may be jumping up and down, but what happens is small businesses with the protocols that they're being forced upon them are not going to be hiring people. They're not going to be expanding. They're definitely going to stay underneath the 100-person variable that, you know, with these.
Because of the vaccine mandate, because of Biden's vaccine mandate.
Absolutely. And so. That is just defiance. And then when you start looking at the states that are standing up to them, like Florida, you know, they're calling them out, but they're doing their job. They're actually trying to make sure that that application is not detrimental to their citizens. Where's our representation in this from our governor? Where is it?
Finally, Congressman, you care to comment on the immigration? I mean, I got this Fox News article here. Obviously, the 12,000 people under the bridge, the Haitians, they just vanished. They just disappeared. We don't know where they went. They're gone. That was a long time ago, though. That was like last week. Now Fox is saying that there's 85,000 Haitians that are pushing up from Panama, and there's even more coming. General thoughts on immigration and where we're at right now.
This is an unmitigated, self-imposed disaster. When you look at last month, there was over 209,000 that came that we know of. I've always said that if we're catching one out of every two, we're lucky. But 209,000. The same time period under Trump, 17. So when you start looking at these people being just tossed into our economy, now at least 20% of them are showing positivity for COVID. So what we're doing is we're extracting a price on American citizens, but not accepting the same sacrifice and same instance to those coming into this country illegally. And then giving them a notice to appear, it ain't going to happen. So when you look at these Haitians, know this. The Haitians coming from South America were used in Brazil particularly to build their infrastructure for the Olympics. Now when their economy's been hit, they've been tossed. They can't get a work permit. They've been tossed out. Mm. Where are they going to go? They're going to go north, and because nobody's being turned away. They actually interviewed a guy that actually was talking about bringing big pools of people forward, saying this government under this administration is more toxic to immigration because they don't know what's going on. They're allowing the human trafficking, the sex trafficking, the drug proliferation to just be unmitigated. And that's put people at risk. He even acknowledged, listen, you know, Donald Trump actually talked hard and was hard on people, but he was fair about this to people. Mm-hmm. Where do you see that from a rights advocate in regards to immigration, unmitigated immigration? You even have Barack Obama saying, "What's happening at our border you can't keep this moving. It's unsubstantial, unsubstantiated." So we've got to get back to common sense. There's no law here. There's no law whatsoever. We don't need to change the law. We just need to enforce it on the books. That's why I said this is self inflicted by this administration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trump enforcing laws, you know, for building the fence, and even Congress dictated through the Anti-Deficiency Act, dictated money to go to the wall, building the wall. This administration defied that. It's going to go to court. It's going to be upheld. It's going to be downturned so that that they start building the fence, but it's going to cost us more. So where does this administration defy the Constitution and the rule of law? We just got to get back to that.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important, Jeff, that we hold people accountable, like in our state with the audit, who have defrauded, who have changed the process within that clearly shows fraud within the mechanics of the computers and the mainframes. We got to start holding elected people accountable. That sends a message, just like it does to kids. Kids, you should set an example by punishing them when they do something wrong. They learn from that experience. Where has the federal government been held accountable? Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the IRS, the unmasking of American citizens, the Hillary Clinton emails. How about Russiagate, Ukrainegate, Obamagate, and Bidengate? Nope, that doesn't happen. Nobody's been held accountable there. How about people that go into stores and rob them of $1,000? Oh, not there either. You know, so why would anybody else follow the rule of law if nobody else in the federal government is being held accountable, or in our state government?
All right, that's it for today. Tomorrow, starting at 4:06, hey, I'll fill you in how my training went for the Stop the Bleed training that I'm attending right as we speak out at Timberline Firearms and Training. Plus, still to come this week, we're going to talk with Senator Wendy Rogers, and she's got a guest, Eric Greitens, who's running for the U.S. Senate out of Missouri, to talk about how and if you can fix D.C. with him. And also, gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Look up Talk with Jeff. I'll see you soon.